adorning Christ and His gospel. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, and today we are concluding our study in John chapter 13 with Jesus here in this account washing the disciples' feet. And there's been a lot to consider in this account about what our Lord is teaching us concerning the kingdom, concerning humility, concerning servanthood. And here we looked at yesterday that Peter did not want the Lord to wash his feet. Peter essentially was refusing this, thinking that he was the one to serve Jesus. And we really came to this crucial point in our study so far, that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And you see, the visual of him taking the form of a slave in front of them was the whole purpose of his mission. And at this point, Peter is still completely ignorant as to what Jesus is saying. So remember what happened here. Remember the scene. Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, "You are not all clean." Now it's this verse 10 that really is amazing. After Peter hears that, he yells back, "Well, then get it all." He says, "Not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." And upon this statement, Jesus says something that at first glance seems confusing. In verse 10, Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." Judas was there. And even though Jesus had stooped so low, even to wash Judas's feet, even to feed him the supper, Jesus says he was never truly cleansed. He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet. What was he saying? Well, Jesus was essentially saying to Peter, "Peter, you don't need a whole bath." I love this statement. Remember in John 15:3, Jesus said, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." Then Jesus cleansed them by that word as he spoke to them. You realize that today. Jesus said in John chapter 5, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life." Through the word of God, we are born again. And by that word, he has saved us through the washing of regeneration. It's just beautiful, isn't it? As we sit and hear that word, the Holy Spirit takes that word and he washes us. He gives us new life in the heart. We are born again by water and the Spirit. Remember he said that in John chapter 3? So Jesus says, all except the feet. You're already clean, Peter. All except the feet. What did he mean? Peter, you are clean. That doesn't mean that my ministry to you is over. I'm demonstrating something you need to understand about the mission you are partaking in and representing. This is how it goes. So Jesus, we read at this point, the whole conversation, he had been on his knees. He took his garments. He sits down again and he looks at them. And he says, "Do you understand what I've done to you?" What a great question. Do you understand what I've done to you? And dear listener, he asked that to you today. Do you understand what I've done to to you. Peter didn't at that moment. But I want you to imagine Peter looking back on this event with understanding later. What just happened in this event? He and the disciples had been arguing about their own greatness. Who gets the best seat in the kingdom? Who would be the greatest in the kingdom? All the while, Jesus is laying down his life. And then Peter would refuse grace. You're not touching my feet. And then he would totally misunderstand Jesus. He speaks out of turn. Has he listened to anything Jesus has been saying? And then when it was all said and done, those feet would lead Peter right into denial. Now you understand the question. Do you understand what I've done for you? Do you feel it? Do you understand why I came to be a slave, to serve you? Do you see how I've done it to you? Is it any different with me? Is it any different with you, dear listener? How patient has our Lord been? How condescending? How ignorant are we? How much interest have we really shown? How much have we really loved? How much have we given ourselves to Him? And how much have we pursued our own wills and our own self-gratification? And all I've ever known from this kind of stooping love of the Messiah is Him coming and washing my feet. Him coming and saving and rescuing and helping. In all of our foolishness and all of our misunderstanding and all of our self-exaltation, even when we've often refused, the Lord is showing us here that He got on His knees and He became a slave for His people. It's a remarkable message. It's an overwhelming message. And that's a message we should think a whole lot about. At this point, Jesus drives home His purpose for them since He's leaving. Listen to what He says. Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, notice the reverse there. In other words, if you think of me that highly, Lord and teacher, if I, as your Lord and teacher, got on my knees to become a slave for you, you ought to do the same. Having washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. You're not greater than me, he says, if you're identified with me. I really love this verse because he's telling us that when we begin to understand the love of God as we should, when we understand that He became a slave for us, we then understand that our response of thanksgiving to Him for that love is witnessed horizontally as we continue to show His love to our brethren. Do you get that? That love is shown horizontally. This is how we thank Him. This is how we give back, if you will. We love one another. Jesus knows that He's leaving, and He is calling those whom He has loved to carry forward the same manner of sacrificial love, for that is how He will still be made known in His physical absence. Isn't that amazing? That's our witness. Why? Because there are a whole bunch more of His people out there that He loves who still don't understand. Am I so wrong in saying today that Jesus, after all these years, is still misunderstood by the masses? What He wants here, the very thing He did for them, He wants that reproduced as they go out and they love those who don't understand it. As they preach the word, the amazing thing would happen. The Lord would cleanse them by that word. He would give life to His people who heard. And as His disciples, His apostles would give themselves as slaves for one another, the Lord would continue to show His love for His people to the end. And that is the point. They didn't understand Him. They refused grace. They denied Him. And yet in the heart of their confusion, Christ washed their feet. Look at how he treated them. He continued in all of their failings to love them to the end, dying for them that they might have fellowship and be a part of his kingdom, even when they had no idea of their need for it. Now, doesn't that move us today? It's only the love of Christ that drives us. It's never feeling like I'm under condemnation and feeling like I'm condemned that will make me go out and want to live this kind of life. This is where people mess up. Putting heavy guilt trips and holds and yokes on people, forcing them into servitude, is not what Jesus is after, is he? He wants us to look at him who became a slave for us. He wants us to see that he got down and he became a servant, and that love that we've received from him would overwhelm us to go out and continue to demonstrate that love to those whom he loves to the ends of the earth. If your church today, if my church, if any church is representative of the church at large, I assure you, you have a whole bunch of people struggling with different things. I assure you today, there are some in your churches rejecting the gospel of grace. They're rejecting Jesus Christ and his church. And what's your response? Our response is to give up on them. They'll never change. And we ignore them, don't we? There are some who maybe rarely attend the church. And our response is to turn the blind eye. There may be some who keep doing the same things over and over and over again. And your patience has expired, hasn't it? You're tired of it. You've given up on them. And you wonder, is there any hope for them? There are some who may be so different from us. We really just don't want to have much to do with them. So we avoid them. We leave them alone. There may be some who have offended us so greatly that we refuse them the right hand of fellowship. You know what Jesus is saying to you today? Do you know what I've done to you? That's the question. Do you know what I've done to you? How has Jesus treated you? If you understand the gospel, you understand that he has been absolutely wonderful. He became a slave and washed your feet. If you understand, says Jesus, what I've done to you, you are truly blessed by God when you are about washing the feet of those whom I love. Go after them, dear listener, Jesus says, as I went after you. Peter, feed my sheep, shepherd them. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to also to lay down our lives for the brethren. I'm going to close with Philippians 2 today. And hopefully this sets deep in your hearts. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program, and we do ask both for your prayerful and financial support. Write to us, Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington 98264, agradio.org is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.